السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Continuing from the book Be Mindful of Allah by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali رحمة الله عليه. Chapter 4. Become acquainted with Allah in times of ease, and He will recognize you in times of hardship. This means that if the slave of Allah fears Him and is mindful of His limits and upholds His rights in times of ease and health, then through that he has become acquainted with Allah. Hence his Lord will recognize him in times of difficulty, acknowledging his deeds in times of ease, and save him from all hardships on the strength of that acquaintance. This is also a special acquaintance which includes the proximity of Allah, His love, and His acceptance of supplications, and it does not refer to mere general recognition. Allah knows and recognizes the condition of every one of His creation. He says, هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. He has most knowledge of you when He first produced you from the earth, and when you were embryos in your mother's wombs. And He says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمَ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. We created man, and we know what his own self whispers to him. We created man, and we know what his own self whispers to him, i.e. the nafs. How is the nafs prompting a person? However, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in the hadith, my slave continues to draw closer to me through nafil acts of worship until I love him, until his words, if he asks of me, I will surely give him, and if he seeks refuge in me, I will surely grant him refuge, is a specific personal acquaintance. Fadail once met Shawana, the worshipper, and asked her to pray for him. She replied, Fadail, what is the problem between you and him, i.e. Allah? What is the problem between you and him? Why can you not ask him yourself? If you pray to him, he will respond to you. So Fadail sobbed profusely and fell unconscious. Abu Ja'far as-Sa'i said, Hassan, fleeing from Hajjaj, came to Habib Abu Muhammad. He said to him, Abu Muhammad, save me from the authorities as they are on my tail. He responded, I am embarrassed of you. Abu Sa'id, is there no reliance between you and your Lord whereby you can supplicate to him and he will hide you from them? Enter the house. When the authorities entered after him, they could not see him. Later, when they told Hajjaj what happened, he said, he was definitely in the house, but Allah obscured their sight, so they could not see him. When the slave of Allah attains this special recognition, he gains special acquaintance with his Lord, not the general recognition of the masses, but the recognition which leads to friendship with him and prompts him to act modestly in front of him. Gaining this acquaintance and recognition has been the driving force for all Sufis, as can be gleaned from the allusions in many incidents. Abu Sulaiman heard a man once say, "I spent the night talking about women." So he reprimanded him, "Woe to you. Have you no shame before him? He sees you talking about someone other than him at night. But how can you shame, but how can you have shame before the one whom you have yet to recognize?" Ahmad ibn Asim al-Antaqi said, "I do not want to die until I have recognized my Lord." Recognition of him is not just affirming him, but recognizing him to have shame in front of him. And what does the i'tikaf allow you to do? Hopefully it should allow you to achieve a certain degree of recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This special recognition and acquaintance creates peace of mind and certainty that Allah will surely save him from every hardship and calamity. This acquaintance also means that the Lord will accept the supplication of his slave. When Hassan hid from Hajjaj, someone advised him, "You should leave Basra. We fear you will be discovered." This made him weep and he said, "Should I leave my city, my family and my brothers? My acquaintance with my Lord and his blessings upon me show me that he will save me and free me from them if Allah wills." Accordingly, Hajjaj did not harm him at all. Rather, he would honor him greatly after that and would always speak positively about him. A man once said to Ma'ruf Kharki, is a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is Ma'ruf, he is well known. If you don't know him, that's not my problem. You should know him if you're a Sufi. A man once said to Ma'ruf, "What has stirred you to sever all ties and devote to worship?" The man then listed death, the barrier between this life and the next, paradise and fire, and asked if any of these motivated him. But Ma'ruf said, "What are these? The king possesses all of these in his hand. If there was recognition between you and him, he would suffice you against all of these." Tirmizi quotes a hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which clarifies and explains this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man sarrahu an yastajib Allahu lahu inda shada'idi fal yukthiri du'a fir raha." Whoever wants Allah to accept his supplication at the time of hardship should increase supplication at times of ease. But we don't do that. Ibn Abi Dunya, Ibn Hatim, Ibn Jarir and others quote the hadith of Yazid al-Raqashi from Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who relates from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Yunus alayhi salam supplicated to Allah, while in the belly of the whale, the angels said, "Our Lord, this is a familiar voice coming from a strange place." So Allah said, "Do you know who that is?" They asked, "Who is he?" Allah responded, "My slave Yunus." The angels said, "Your slave Yunus, the one who's accepted deeds and answered supplication, continue to ascend to the heavens." Allah said, "Yes." The angel said, "Will you not then have mercy because of what he used to do in times of ease and save him from hardship?" Allah said, "Of course." Then he ordered the whale to cast him up onto the beach. The Haq ibn Qais said, "Remember Allah in times of ease, and he will remember you in times of hardship. Yunus alayhi salam used to remember Allah in times of ease. Then when he was in the belly of the whale, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, 'Falawla annahu kana minal musabbihin, lalabitha fi batnihi ila yawmi yub'athun.' Had it not been that he was a man who glorified Allah, he would have remained inside its belly." Moreover, Fir'aun rebelled and forgot about the remembrance of Allah. Then when he was drowning, he said, "I believe Allah said." He said, "I believe." So Allah said, "Al-ana wa kad asayt qabla wa kunta minal mufsideen." What now? When previously you rebelled and were of the corruptors. Lesson to learn from this is, we don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're well, when we're good, when we've got the money, when we've got the health, and then all of a sudden we become a little ill. "Oh, I'm so sick. Ya Allah, please give me a cure. Take this headache away." And it stays, and it lingers, and it stays, and it lingers. Why? Something to think about. Rishdin ibn Sa'd said, a man said to Abu Ad-Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Give me counsel." You know, the pious predecessors, they were so concerned about the welfare and well-being in terms of the deen, that when they saw someone, they would say, "Give me counsel, just give me some advice, give me some nasir." Today we do that. It's just a matter of fulfilling. It becomes a trend. How many people come to me and they say, "Give us counsel." And I say to them, "What can I say? Give it to me. I need it more than you." Because people aren't genuine when they come and ask you for advice. They're not genuine. They come and say superficially, "It's just to fulfill some trend we're setting. You know, okay, it's Maulana, let's go to Maulana Javed or Maulana Abrar and ask him, you know, give us some nasihat." And then you give nasihat, and then you say, a year later, "Oh, I saw you last year. You asked me blah, blah, blah. What did you do?" "Oh, give me more nasihat. I need it." Rishdin ibn Sa'd said, a man said to Abu Ad-Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Give me counsel." So he said, "Remember Allah in times of ease, and he will remember you in times of hardship." So actually this reminds me, Hazrat Ahmadullah alayhi used to say this. This had become a cliche of his. "Allah, Allah, kar, kisi se nadar." He used to say that. Now sometimes when people ask me and I say to them, you know, I'm just going to relate, because I don't really know how to give counsel. I relate to you what my husband used to say, and I relate this to them, and I say, Allah, Allah, karkis is another, and I explain it to them. And they look at me like, okay. Salman al-Farsi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said, if a man usually supplicates in times of ease, then when hardship befalls him and he supplicates to Allah, the angels will say a familiar voice and they will intercede for him. But if he was not accustomed to supplicating in times of ease and hardship befalls him and he supplicates to Allah, the angels will say an unfamiliar voice. Who's this stranger? And they do not intercede for him. It's like somebody comes to your door and knocks on your door. And you say, who's there? Say, the person, whatever, they can say me or what. Or even if somebody says, Assalamu alaikum, you recognize the voice. You don't have to wait. You go and open the door. It's, who are you? Where are you from? The person has to convince you, I've come to see you. How are we going to manage to convince the angels when we don't have this recognition with the angels? Do we have recognition with the angels? Ask yourself this question. Do we have recognition with the angels? Allah knows. But for myself, I'm far from it. I'm afraid that when I knock on that door, the angels will just turn away and say, who's this? I don't know you. The hadith of the three who entered the cave, so this is a hadith wherein mention was made a few chapters back. The hadith of the three who entered the cave only to be trapped by a boulder bears testimony to this too. They were helped because of their supplication to Allah through the means of sincere deeds that they had performed in times of ease, such as being dutiful to parents, forsaking fornication, and fulfilling a hidden trust. Preparation for death. Once it is known that becoming acquainted with Allah in times of ease necessitates Allah's recognition of His slave in times of hardship, then there is no greater hardship facing a believer than death. Death is insignificant compared to what follows if the slave's destined place of return is the evil abode, and if his final abode is good, then it will be the last hardship he ever faces. The slave of Allah must therefore prepare for death with righteous deeds, rushing to perform them before it comes. Indeed, a person who does not know at what time of the day or night this hardship will afflict him. Do we know when death is going to come? No, we don't know. One of the ways the hardship of death is lightened and hope is restored is through recounting past righteous deeds, improving a believer's opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the early Muslims said, the pious loved to prepare a hoard of righteous deeds to facilitate ease when death comes, or something to that effect. They also saw it as an amazing achievement when someone died immediately after doing an act of obedience like Hajj, Jihad, or fasting. Nakhai said, people used to recommend recounting a person's righteous deeds at the time of his death so that he would be optimistic about Allah. Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami said when he was weak, when he was sick, how can I not have hope in Allah when I have fasted 80 Ramadans? When death approached Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, the people around him wept. So he said, do not weep. I have completed the Quran in this prayer room 13,000 times. And we complete it once or twice and we think, I've done a big job now. He is also related to have said to his son, do you think Allah would waste the 40 years your father completed the Quran every night? When death approached one of the early Muslims, he said to his son, when he saw him weeping, do not weep, for your father has never done an immoral act. How conscious were these people? They were so conscious of their actions, their deeds. Adam ibn Abi Iyas completed the Quran while he was laying on his deathbed. Then he said, by my love for you, be gentle with me in this fatal encounter. I have had expectations of you for this day, and I have hopes in you. There is no God but Allah. Then he passed away. May Allah have mercy on him. Abdul Samad the ascetic would say at the time of his death, my master, for this moment I have held on to you, and this day I have gained you. Please confirm my good opinion of you. Ibn Aqil said at the time of his death, while women wept, for 50 years I have been working for him. Leave me so I can enjoy my meeting with him. When the Karamita attacked the pilgrims, who are the Karamita? The Karamita were a 9th century Shia sect who rebelled against the Abbasid Caliphate. They attacked Makkah during the Hajj, stole the black stone, and desecrated the well of Zamzam with the bodies of dead pilgrims. So when they attacked the Muslims, killing them while they made tawaf, Ali ibn Babawah, the Sufi, did not stop his circumambulation even though swords were striking him until he fell. He then recited a couplet. You see the lovers going mad in their homes, like the youngsters of the cave, not knowing how long they tarried. Which youngsters are you talking about? Those that are mentioned in Surah Kahf. You see the lovers going mad in their homes, like the youngsters of the cave, not knowing how long they tarried. He then recited another couplet. By Allah, had the lovers sworn that they would die because of disunion on the day of discord, they would not be lying. Whoever obeys Allah and fears him and is mindful of his limits, Allah will take charge of him at the time of his death. He will cause him to die on belief and will reinforce him with the firm word in the grave when the angels question him. He will then protect him from the punishment of the grave and ease his loneliness in that dark desolation. One of the early Muslims said, if Allah is with you when you enter the grave, then no harm will come to you and you will not be lonely. When a certain righteous scholar was seen in a dream after his death and asked about what happened to him, he replied, my Lord befriended me. It is hoped that whoever befriends Allah in seclusion in the world, Allah will befriend him in the darkness of the grave when he parts from the world. One of the pious early Muslims said to this effect, so my Lord, befriend me on the day of my loneliness. for I surely affirm what you have revealed. I am not worried that I must go to Allah, who from my family could be more devoted and friendlier than him. As for the one who does not recognize Allah in times of ease, there will be no one to look out for him in times of hardship, neither in the world nor the hereafter. The miserable fate of such people has been witnessed firsthand in the world, and yet their state in the hereafter will be far worse, as they will have no protector nor helper there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a profound understanding of this deen so that we can implement it for our benefit. And so we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ease, which allows us a good death, a death on the shahada, a death on the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافئة صل على محمد وارض عني إذا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته وجزه عنا ما هو أهله وجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبينا قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيتك كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيتك كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات والصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات والصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار آمين التحيات الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني آمين التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله صلوات لله زكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله صلوات طيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله